Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Jake Volnick with you guys on The Fan, headed in to the 8 o'clock hour. We got a busy time. We got a lot to get to. Dan Lobby coming up at 8:20. Coming up in about 17 minutes. We'll talk to Dan. Browns draft. I mean, guys, we are 6 days away. Okay, I'm completely balanced right now. And maybe balanced is the wrong word because I think it's way one way or the other. But in the terms of I'm excited for the draft, I like overly excited. But at the same time, just exhausted with the conversation around it and so much of the conversation around it and feeling like we've gone through and we've talked about a lot of these things and it feels like we're getting to Travis Hunter and it feels like we're getting to a quarterback there either at 33 or shortly after. It feels like everything is sort of falling into place, but it is still the time of excitement. When we get to Thursday, I'll be fully excited. Okay, well, we'll talk to you for the hour leading up to the draft. We'll have the conversation. I'm going to be amped up to be here when it's here. Leading up until then, though, it feels like a lot of the excitement is turned to, all right, let's get this thing and move on. Let's speed this thing up. Let's actually get there. But we'll talk to Dan about sort of the closing things leading up to the draft within a week, whether or not we think Travis Hunter is already set in stone. But I think a lot of what's made this sort of end of draft process almost a little bit of a bear to continue to talk about is probably, I imagine, something that's much harder right now in Nashville. It's the fact that it feels like the Browns were the biggest question mark in the draft, right? How many people did we hear throw out the idea that, hey, it's going to be Cam Ward at one. We can pretty much pin that down. But with every day that continues on, it feels like the Browns, you had no clue. Is it going to be Shedeur Sanders? It could be Abdul Carter. It could be Travis Hunter. Maybe they'll trade back. But then the last 2 weeks, it really does feel like every single day that we get closer and closer, or at least more and more traction for Travis Hunter to be the pick. And that's where it almost comes in is, are the Browns becoming predictable here in this process down towards the end? 216-474-0092. I think that in some capacity they are. Like at the end of the day right now, if you made me take my stand, right? What do I tell people at Draft Daily? I tell you, plant your flag. Who's going to be on the card when they turn it in? And if we're talking about who I think the Browns are going to pick, I would say, yeah, if I'm planting my flag, I'd say Travis Hunter. Now, again, I still want Shedeur Sanders, but I'm very understanding that that's less and less likely. But if you made me pick right now, and it feel like a pretty good chance that I get it right. The way that Andrew Berry talked about Travis Hunter, while it didn't convince me, it didn't swing me in a different way, it definitely didn't take me out of the conversation of Travis Hunter either. It definitely leaves him open as the possibility at two, but it didn't push me further into the Travis Hunter camp into believing that's what was going to happen, because it already felt like we had reached the point where Travis Hunter was going to be the option, where he was going to be the pick at two. And nothing that Andrew Berry said sort of locked that in for me or got me any further than I already was. Because it does feel like, okay, it's going to be Hunter at two. And then we sit there and we get back towards, oh, pick 33. Who's going to be on the board when 33 comes around? Well, I think that it's very logical to think that the Browns are probably turning in the 33 pick card more likely than not, unless the board doesn't shake their way with the name of a quarterback on it. And I would say it feels like Jalen Milroe's been the quarterback that's picked up a lot of steam in recent days. And the way that the media is asking Andrew Berry about him specifically, he's speaking very highly on Milroe. Again, signs just point to, yeah, we're talking highly of Milroe, we're talking highly of Travis Hunter. I would say that the most likely scenario you run into is that those are the two picks that come off the board, barring Milroe not being there and being available. Where, again, it comes in, then are the Browns being predictable? And I think that the clear answer to that right now is yes. A team that holds themselves to a high standard of nobody knowing what they're going to do have now gotten close to tipping their hand and have gotten close to almost giving away what they're going to be taking and the things that they want and the players that they value highly. But I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. Now, at 33, that could come into play because people know that you like Jalen Milroe. They might jump you to go get Jalen Milroe if that's a reality. But at 2, doesn't really make a difference. It does feel like the overall answer is that you just get a premier player, a guy that can play two ways. You get the stud of Travis Hunter. And why hide that from anybody, really? Why not throw that sort of to the media as, yeah, you know, don't go out and basically confirm it, but it's a good chance we take Hunter here. What's that changing? All that does is lock you into taking the guy that you already know you want. I would highly doubt that Tennessee is going to flip-flop and take Travis Hunter, and even if they do, well, congratulations, you just walked yourself into Cam Ward. But it doesn't really change anything other than the figurative and metaphorical sense of when does the draft actually start? And that would then be pick 3 with the Giants and nobody knowing where they're going to go. And I don't even think the Giants at this point probably knowing where they're going to go. But it's no different at 2 to say who you're taking than it really is at 1 to say who you're taking. After the Titans lock in Cam Ward, you go, all right, we'll take Travis Hunter. I mean, we could have the first round of the first two picks from the draft done by, like, what, 8:03 if the draft is starting at 8, right? We could get those turned in by the time you get the person up there. Roger Goodell to walk up, make the pick, walk back, and walk up again. Yeah, you probably burned about 3 minutes between handshakes, hugs, pictures, and we can just start with pick number 3. I don't think there's a problem with it for the Browns. A 33, again, I think it's a different conversation. You're leaving open the opportunity that somebody goes and actually jumps you then for a player that you like. But there's so many options there that if somebody jumps you for the quarterback, I mean, I would hope that you're not just relying on Milroe. And if you are, I'd hope that as you see him falling late into the 20s, you're probably just going up to get him at that point. You're not going to wait for him to fall to 33. If there's a chance somebody's trading up to get him, I'd be in a high conversation with just about everybody there in those spots saying, if you get a call about trading up and them wanting to take a quarterback, you make sure you give us a call first, right? Or if anybody calls about trading up, make sure you give us a call first. We'd like to try to battle for that spot. But it does present a slight problem there. But again, it's almost a refreshment, a refreshing thing. I mean, it takes away some of the conversation that we have, some of the back and forth. But once we have those conversations for 2 weeks, it's not like we're continuing to go down the route of, well, maybe they could still draft Abdul Carter and going and doing Travis Hunter versus Abdul Carter debates for 3 months on end. At some point, it's refreshing to feel like you know the direction of the team, you know where they're heading in the things that they want to accomplish, and the players that they want, and what the overall goals are. Again, it almost felt like some of that, just the question marks, some of the doubt that surrounds what you know about the team's doing has gone away this offseason. As we've progressed, things have begun, I think, to clear up more and more. I mean, we talk about, obviously, the feelings of the team on Deshaun Watson, that's been pretty much kept under wraps for what feels like forever, but you could make a pretty good and clear inference on what you thought the feelings should have been and what they were based on the decisions they make. But of course, Jimmy Haslam goes out there, calls it a swing and a miss, and done deal. Okay, we know what the team and what the organization thinks about that move. Now it feels like we're leaning Travis Hunter, potentially leaning Jalen Milroe with the second pick in the draft. Okay, I have some clarity on what the process for the Browns to get back to where they want to be might look like. Whereas over the last 3 years, I think that's been a very frustrating thing for Browns fans, is sitting back and waiting and trying to guess what the thought process was and what their next move was going to be. And you want to keep other teams guessing, but I think at some point when it feels like your fan base can't even nail down the decisions that you're going to make and what way you lean and the type of moves you make, that's where it becomes a little bit of a problem. That's where it becomes, are we sure we want to do this? Are we sure that we can trust that anything they're doing, it actually makes sense? And they're not just going to go entirely shift around an offense for one guy who hasn't played anything aside from what feels like six quarters of good football? No, those are all always questions we had to answer to. But now, as you sit here and predictability becomes a factor, I mean, what's the change? What would be the downside, I think, of the Browns being predictable, other than you have to battle around the pick 33? Well, I just don't see one. If people know where you're going in the draft, but you're still making the right moves, okay. See what the perception is. When nobody knows what you're picking, when it comes out that, oh, the Browns could draft Travis Hunter. Yeah, we've known that. But when now it's, well, the Browns probably will draft Travis Hunter. Now you get the attention. Now you get everybody's eyes, everybody's feedback across the NFL. You get random execs talking about what the fit would look like. You get questions like when the morning show's talking to Joe Flacco, and we can actually ask about Travis Hunter playing two ways and get the inside scoop via the world of football on what that might look like and what the problems with it could be. And instead, you would get just about nothing. You would get answers that I would always describe as podium talk, or you get a bunch of fluff mixed in there. But this is one where it feels like you're finally becoming predictable. People finally have a gauge on what you want to do. Attack the quarterback early. Go get best player available at two. Okay. I at least can sit back and feel somewhat comfortable knowing that I might not wholeheartedly agree, but I can see the vision. I can see where you want to go with the team, and I can see what your plans are. All right. Coming up here in 5 minutes, Dan Lobby, Cleveland.com, going to be joining us to talk about, are the Browns actually predictable? Do we know where they're going, and what does this team look like if a couple of those picks come through, as well as the offseason in general? We'll get all of Dan's thoughts coming up here at 8:20. It's Overtime with Jake Volnick with you guys on The Fan. This is one of the busiest times of the sports year, with the Browns preparing for the NFL draft, the playoffs just around the corner for the number one seed Cavs, and that is this weekend. And the Guardian season underway. Don't miss a minute of The Fan with the latest breaking news during your workday or on the go. Stream us at 92.3thefan.com or on your phone with the free Odyssey app. It's Jake Volnick with you guys on The Fan. As always, get a grip coming up at 9 o'clock. But we're going to talk to Dan Lobby, Cleveland.com, here coming up in a few minutes. Because we just need another look. We need to know, how predictable is this team really, right? We were talking about it last segment. Dan will, of course, have...
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Have the pulse on it more so than even I would. I just feel like it does sort of get to the point now where I think we all believe the Browns are taking Travis Hunter at 2 more than anything, and what's going to happen at 33 might be have been alluded to already as well. So let's go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline to get the answers on all of it. He covers the team for Cleveland.com. His name's Dan Lobby, and he joins us now. Dan, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, Jake?
Good as always. A lot of fun time. Dan, are you in the spot that I'm in right now where we've been talking draft for what feels like 3 months, and you're sitting down looking at your watch, looking at the calendar, and wondering if Thursday at 8 o'clock is here yet?
Yeah, I'm ready for this thing to be over. I mean, it's been great. It's been fun to talk about all this stuff, but I just forgot how long this process is with not having first-round picks, and so you're kind of detached from everything the last few years, and now this year just diving right in a draft where they need a quarterback and all that. It's just been – it's felt very long, so I'm ready for Thursday to get here.
Yeah, it'll be nice for the conversation to turn into from, I guess, who are they going to pick to, oh, here's who they picked. What does it look like? It'll be a good change.
Yeah, exactly. It's always more fun to talk about these guys as Cleveland Browns as opposed to, well, will they be Cleveland Browns or not?
Yeah, a lot less options once we get through the draft, and less than 200 and something. Let's go through how locked in for you, Dan, does it feel like Travis Hunter as the number two pick, which feels like it just has been gaining steam every single day?
I mean, it's gotten to the point where I would be surprised if it's not Travis Hunter. And look, you never rule anything out with Andrew Berry in this front office. I mean, they could surprise everyone, but it just all signs pointing to Travis Hunter after that pro day a few weeks ago. And that momentum is just built and built and built. And, you know, it's not surprising to me that Andrew and this front office would really be fascinated by the idea of adding a player like Hunter who can impact the game on both sides. Obviously, they view him as a guy that can come in and be an elite receiver right away. So, you know, it's to the point where, you know, maybe a month ago I would have said I'd be surprised if it wasn't Shador, and now I think I've just completely flipped to where I'd be surprised if it wasn't Travis Hunter.
Is Andrew Berry's comments over yesterday any indicator for you calling and comparing him to Shohei Ohtani? Is that an indicator of that's who you're drafting, or is that the way that you think that Andrew Berry would talk about Travis Hunter, whether or not he was taking Abdul Carter or somebody else at the number two pick as well?
You know, I honestly think he would maybe just talk about him that way regardless, because I just – Andrew is a guy that, again, I think would be really fascinated by this prospect, even if he wasn't a guy they were going to draft. So I'm not real surprised he made that comparison. He has loosened up a little bit in his pressers, even though yesterday was a little more muted on a lot of topics. But he's loosened up a little, so it didn't, you know, take me aback when he said that to think, oh, that tells me they're drafting him for sure. I think he would have said that regardless.
Is it similar for you for Jalen Milroe? Obviously, he goes out, he makes the comment, could be the quarterback faster than Lamar Jackson, had good things to say about Milroe as well. Is that an indicator for you that when their second pick comes along, whether that's 33, they move up, that Jalen Milroe might be the name called, or is that just, again, an athletic guy that you speak highly of because he's a good prospect?
I did think it was interesting the way he talked about him, especially because he answered the question about Jackson Dart, and he kind of talked about both in one answer. And with Jackson, it was a lot more general. It was a lot more, well, he can throw it, he can run it, he can do all this stuff. And with Jalen, he went out of his way to point out that he has rare physical traits. And I just found that interesting. Andrew is a guy who, at least when it comes to position players, or skill players, I should say, he likes those traits. He likes to take guys, especially later in the draft, who he thinks have elite traits. So I just wonder how that translates to the quarterback position and Jalen Milroe. But certainly listening to that answer, it kind of drove home the fact that, again, I just would not be surprised if at some point it's Jalen Milroe. Now, I don't know that they would trade up to get him. Maybe it's a situation where even maybe he falls farther than people think he's going to fall. Maybe that's where you pounce on him. But again, he's on that list of guys that if we hear his name over the weekend to the Cleveland Browns, I wouldn't be shocked.
One of the other things that stood out to me, and on the topic of trading up for Milrow or any quarterback within that first round, is Andrew Berry throughout his press conference essentially laid out the fact that he doesn't value the fifth-year extension the way that many people think GMs value the fifth-year extension. Is that something that we're buying the smoke on, or is that something that you think might be a little bit of a deterrent from other GMs on thinking he's going to trade up or the value on it?
You know, I believe him just because I sort of agree with him. I think the fifth-year extension, yes, it's valuable. But I think most of the time, if you draft a guy, especially a quarterback, if you draft a quarterback and you love the guy, you're going to extend him before that fifth-year extension even comes into play. So that extra year of control is usually a figure-it-out year, right? We saw it with Jedrick Wills. We're seeing it with Greg Newsome as that cornerback position develops. It gives you that extra year of control, obviously. Now, it can be expensive depending on the position, but I do think the fifth-year option, while there's value to it, I'm kind of with Andrew on this. I think we talk about it a little too much because, again, if you really love a guy, you're not going to need it anyway. You're just going to extend him after 3 or 4 years.
Dan Lobby, Cleveland.com, with us on the New Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We go through and we talk about it feels like it's going to be Travis Hunter. It could be very likely that Jalen Milroe would be that pick for the second one off the board or at some point for the Browns. Have they sort of gone from what was talked about earlier on as the biggest question mark in the draft to now almost being in a spot where you consider them predictable?
Yes, but I'm always nervous to say that. Again, just because you never know with this front office if they're sitting on something, if there's something they aren't telling us. But I will say Andrew Berry has been a little predictable in past drafts. You look back at the Jed Wills draft, all through that offseason, they kind of left left tackle wide open, and everybody knew that was a strong left tackle class. And then lo and behold, sitting at number 10, they end up taking Jedrick Wills. I think the year after that, they were tied to Greg Newsome. And you know, he was one of the guys that you would see people predicting could end up in Cleveland. He was sitting there at, I think they were at 26 that year. So for as secretive as Andrew can be, and obviously they don't love to put a bunch of stuff out there, and it can feel like, well, they could do anything shocking in any moment. They actually have been pretty predictable when it's come to their early draft picks. So if this plays out the way kind of everybody is thinking it's going to play out next week, I've said this like 5 times, it wouldn't surprise me, because Andrew, sometimes you can look at the evidence, not what he says, not what you're hearing people say, but you look at the roster, you look at how it's put together, and you can kind of say, yeah, it just makes sense to take this guy here, and then that's what they do.
Dan, the next question is going to sound almost, I think in a way, stupid, but I think you'll see where I'm going. Is there almost a fear at any point that operating a draft rounds, I guess, 1 through 6 right now for the Browns, but potentially 1 through 7, almost functions in a different way, and there'd be a little bit of rust having not had the first round pick for that long, not even had a second round pick in some of those years? Is there a rust to work off working the draft early on across Thursday and early on Friday?
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting thought. I don't think it is, though, just because I think when you look at just that they pick number 2, I think that just really simplifies things. You're kind of outside of assuming Tennessee is going to take Cam Ward, you kind of get your pick of whoever you want there at number 2. So I think that sort of simplifies having to play that game and figure out where guys are going to go, who might move up, who might move back. Now, it gets interesting if you are sitting there thinking, okay, we're going to take Hunter at 2, and then we're going to try and move back up. And like, if Shador starts to fall, maybe we'll make a move for him, or maybe we'll try and get ahead of Pittsburgh for a quarterback, whatever it is. You know, playing that game is something they haven't had to do. So that'll be fascinating if they do, in fact, try to play that game. But I think sitting there at number 2, it just kind of simplifies everything. Now, the really interesting thing is going to be 33, because that's that weird pick where, you know, the draft ends 11:30 midnight on Thursday night. And then you've got all the way till 7 o'clock, and that phone's going to be ringing. And I'm really fascinated to see what Andrew does there. If he moves back, if he just sits there and makes a pick, I think we're going to find out if he really loves the guy that's still on the board there.
Yeah, I think that's a part of what I was thinking as well, is that 33 obviously presents there's so many questions of what could happen, to the point where, yes, your potential for getting the best player is obviously maximized at the number two pick on day one, but should Browns fans almost be more intrigued than excited about day two, given the fact of where we are, and it almost feels like you know the pick on day one as well?
Yeah, I think so, just because of, 33. And we know that Andrew and this front office, they love to try and maximize that value. So if there's like five or six guys that they just really like sort of on an equal level, there's a chance you move back, right? And maybe, let's say there's four receivers you really like that you think you can get before pick 45. Well, then you might move back and try and have more picks either next year or even in this draft where we already have 10 of them. So that's the one thing that makes this interesting for the Browns. They could just sit there in 33 and take a guy if they really love a guy there. But if they think there's a bunch of guys they could get, and in the 12, 15 picks to start that day off, then they might move back. And so that's what makes it interesting. Andrew Berry is always going to try and maximize every single pick that he has.
Dan, obviously with the addition of Joe Flacco, we've talked a lot about, is it going to be a quarterback competition, everything that goes into it. One of the almost analyzed aspects of the entire situation is that if you go through and you start a guy like Kenny Pickett or a rookie quarterback over somebody like Joe Flacco, are you almost putting them in a bad spot, given the fact the way that we know the fan base is about Joe and the love that they have for him? And I'm sure they wouldn't be quiet if it comes to the fact of that guy struggles. They want the guy that was here in 2023 and helped lead him to a playoff spot.
I don't think it's as big an issue with a rookie, but I do think it's a good point with Kenny Pickett, because I don't think a lot of Browns fans are looking at Kenny Pickett and they're in love with that deal to bring him in. And yeah, if Kenny Pickett goes out there week one, if that game's at home and he struggles, those Flacco calls are going to start. And I don't know if the Browns will care about that. I don't know if Kevin Stefanski will even consider that in his decision. But I do think having Flacco backing up Kenny Pickett adds a layer of pressure, because as soon as Kenny Pickett, he's not going to have a leash with the fan base. He's not going to get any grace for any mistakes from the fan base. They're going to want to see Joe Flacco if Kenny Pickett is the starter. So I think that's an interesting wrinkle as we go through this, because every sign is pointing to this being a real competition between at least those two, and then probably a rookie as well, depending on if they believe that guy is ready to play early or not. There is a chance Kenny Pickett could go out there and win that job, and that makes things very interesting if he struggles early.
Dan Lobby, Cleveland.com, again with us on the hotline. Is it almost a similar situation, you think, for a young running back if you were to bring back Nick Chubb, even in a, I think, running back by committee, obviously, more likely, and you see that more often, but even if that running back's almost out carrying Nick Chubb, that you get something similar there?
Maybe, but I think the fact that fans got to see Nick Chubb last year and he didn't really look like Nick Chubb, and he was starting to get there maybe a little bit before he broke the foot, but he never really looked like Nick Chubb. I think that at least gave people a little bit of the reality check that he wasn't ready last year. Maybe that year after the year, he's going to be a little better. Sometimes with those knee injuries, you see that with guys. But I do think that because of what we saw last year from him, I would hope that most fans would understand that if Nick comes back, it's got to be in a lesser role. And he's probably not going to be the starter unless they just draft a running back who's, maybe a sixth-round guy who's not going to carry the ball 15 times a game. But he would definitely be splitting time with Jerome Ford, whatever rookie they bring in. And again, I hope that people who saw Nick Chubb run last year would understand that you don't want to give him the ball 15, 20 times a game right now.
If you're reading the tea leaves, do you think it's more likely that Nick Chubb comes back or plays somewhere else at this point?
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It just seems as long as he's been out there, you have to wonder how many options he's got. Because you would think if somebody wanted to sign him, they would sign him. Now, I guess we have to get through the draft because maybe there's some teams out there that are just kind of waiting to see how the running backs fall. Maybe that's what the Browns are doing too. Maybe they want to see kind of how this draft falls, if they're able to land a running back they really like. But I think the longer he's out there, the more likely it actually becomes that he could come back, because you start to ask, okay, so why hasn't anybody else made that offer, or why hasn't he accepted some offer yet to this point? So the longer this goes, I think the more likely it seems that he'd be back.
Dan, an interesting wrinkle on our station today. One of our other hosts brought up the idea of bringing back Amari Cooper, given the fact and the success that he had with Joe Flacco. Something you'd be interested in, or are you out on that?
I wouldn't do it. And look, I really liked Amari when he was here. I liked covering him. I liked interviewing him, talking to him. He was great with us. Obviously, fans loved him. He had two really great years here. But, you know, he just we saw what happened last year. How much of that was just the missed connection with Deshaun Watson, or whatever you want to call it? I don't know. But then he goes to Buffalo, and he was okay, but he didn't really make an impact there for the most part. So I just don't think you necessarily need to go down that route. I think you have Jerry Jeudy. You like him there. I think you have to add, or you should add, probably two receivers in this draft, hopefully one on day two, and then maybe another one on day three. I don't know what Cedric Tillman is. There were flashes last year. I think you have to use this season to find out. And I think that's the case with a lot of positions this year. You're going to try and find out about a lot of young guys, and I think Cedric Tillman is on that list. So I don't know if bringing back Amari Cooper really accomplishes that much.
If the Browns decided it was something they wanted to do, how did the tenure between the two end? Because there was obviously sort of the, I don't want to call it bad blood, but they clearly weren't on the same page last offseason. And then I don't know that the fans were exactly happy with them, and I don't know how the organization felt. Is it something where it would be seamless to come back, or is there probably still a little something unresolved there?
I never got a sense that there was bad blood. Obviously, he had the contract holdout, but the Browns did take care of him, and they did make sure that that he got what he wanted so that he could come back and play. Obviously, it didn't work out on the field. They ultimately decided to turn him into an asset, which actually turned out to be a smart move. That's why they have the number 94 overall pick. So at least that worked out. But I never got the sense that there was any bad blood that would prevent Amari from wanting to come back to Cleveland. I think he enjoyed his time here, and obviously – the way he played, you know, if Joe Flacco's here, I've got to imagine Amari Cooper would look at that and say, sure, I'd run it back with him. But it's just a matter of kind of what you want your roster to look like, what opportunities you want some of your young receivers to have, and sort of how he fits into that. And just right now, I'm not sure if I see that.
All right, Dan, I'll get you out of here on this one. If you're looking at the Browns' needs positionally right now, is there a single position that stands out, is one more likely than another to get sort of left out in the draft process, with the Browns holding a total of 9 picks?
It's really tough. I think on paper they can address every position, but we know those day 3 picks are going to be harder, right? You can't draft a 6th round guy and expect he's going to come in and be your left tackle of the future or something like that. I guess it wouldn't surprise me if for some reason, as much as I think this is a need and I think they should address it high, it wouldn't surprise me if they prioritized other positions early in the draft and maybe we didn't see an edge rusher drafted on day 1 or 2. you know, you need a receiver, you need a tight end. And I think you got to take a tight end in the second or third round. You're taking Travis Hunter. That's obviously a receiver, but I'd love to see him add another one day one, you know, day two as well. So I guess, even though I don't know that it'll happen, it seems like they're doing this edge rush by committee on the other side across from Myles Garrett. And if we're taking Abdul Carter off the board, it starts to make me wonder, are they going to take an edge rusher on the first 2 days of this draft? Or are they going to roll the dice on a guy on day three, like they did with Isaiah McGuire, for example, and see if they can just kind of throw him into that committee and make something work?
Dan, I appreciate it, as always, setting aside the time and coming to talk to us here. I hope that we're talking sometime soon after the draft, and hopefully with both of us feeling like it went well.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me.
Yep, no doubt. Dan Lobby, Cleveland.com, joining us there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Good stuff out of Dan. We'll react when we come back, and you can jump in at 216-474-0092. It's Jake Volnick. Now let's get to a Michael Markosh 2020. Just got done talking to Dan Lobby of Cleveland.com. Really good stuff out of Dan. I thought he had some really good insight into not only what it feels like the Browns are doing in the draft, but also what some of those positions could end up ultimately playing out. And I think that Dan's was interesting to me where, and I think it makes a lot of sense. The last question that we asked him, if the Browns were to skip out on a position of need, which is what we're going to be asking you here at 216-474-0092. If you were to skip out on a position of need, which position would that be for the Browns within this draft? Right? If you were to go through the draft and you feel like the Browns have a position where they actually have to get something done and they don't address it, where would it be? Now, Dan says edge rusher, right? Going and getting somebody to play on the opposite side of Myles Garrett. And for a lot of reasons, including Myles Garrett, that makes sense. You also have Isaiah McGuire, who I think they like a lot. And that room is just, it's filled out with okay pass rushers. Like, pretty good. Young guys with some potential, but you obviously don't have the star on the other side that a lot of the top teams in the NFL try to get to. They try to get to a multiple pass rusher, multiple front of guys that you can just really trust. And I think you've seen it done in Pittsburgh. You've seen it done in Baltimore. Well, you haven't seen it done in Cincinnati, but they just don't pay money for guys that play defense. But you see it within the AFC North. I don't know that with the class being as deep as it is, and the Browns knowing that what they have right now, it might be acceptable, but it's not going to be anywhere near dominant. It's not going to be someone that is stunning you year in and or play in and play out, week in and week out. They're going to go through and actually make a difference. And on the opposite side of Myles, while he's getting doubled, they're going to take true advantage of a one-on-one matchup with the tackle. To me, the spot that almost feels like the Browns could fail to address it at this point is sort of left tackle, right? The offensive line and going through and neglecting that spot just because of, I think, one, you don't have a ton of tackle depth in this class. I think that they're relatively top heavy. Like, there's some guys that I like, but it's not entirely a great tackle draft, I would say, top to bottom. Some really good tackles at the top, Will Campbell, Membu as well. A lot of the guys there in the first round, but you're not going to end up with them. You might not even end up with an opportunity to get a guy like Josh Simmons from Ohio State. But you could just pass on it for multiple reasons for me. You have other options there. They're just not overly trustworthy. Right, you could go through and once again bank on DeJuan Jones being healthy and banking that he's going to come into camp at a proper weight, in shape, and be able to go through and actually do what he has to do in order to be able to play week one and play at a high level and be able to pass block for whatever quarterback's behind him. You could also go down the other route where you sign Tevin Jenkins and he does have experience playing tackle both at the pro and college level, and you could just stick him in and have him play the tackle spot. The things that I don't think you necessarily get away with right away in leaving this draft without, I think you're going to get a running back. You're going to get a quarterback. You're going to get a wide receiver most likely in Travis Hunter. And then on top of that, I don't know that you leave this draft without getting a safety, because I don't think that what you have in the room right now is good enough. And I think it's, you have to address it in some way. And I don't know a ton of free agent safeties sitting out there right now that are just open and ready to be signed that actually are going to make a positive impact on this team and be a massive step up from where you were, and not just leaving a position kind of dull. Because Juan Thornhill wasn't great. Juan Thornhill wasn't routinely, especially 2023, he wasn't routinely just getting burned left and right. He wasn't making any big plays, but he wasn't getting burned left and right. You need somebody that can at least do somewhat of a good job in coverage, especially, because that's where, if you look at Grant Delpit's game on the other side, it sort of lacks. So I think you're going to get safety. But if you left open the tackle position, I think that it would be a mistake, but I could also see where you feel like you have the luxury to do so. Because you sort of do. You have the options this year. The problem is where I draw it as a mistake is if then you go through and DeJuan Jones doesn't work out to be your left tackle, that, okay, where do we turn next? We have Tevin Jenkins, in case that answer is very clear this year, that he's not going to be the starting tackle. But sort of beyond this year, I mean, you're going to have to address at least the guard position coming up in the 2026 draft, because you're going to be without Joel Bitonio. There's a chance that you're addressing either the other guard, the center, the tackle. Any of those could sort of come due at any point with the line that you have right now and its inability to stay healthy. So I think leaving a lot of the 2026 draft to find an offensive line might be a little bit of a mistake, and leaving a lot of next offseason getting there. But again, I can see a scenario where the Browns go through and leave out that position. And I think you should try to address it. But if you don't feel like one falls into your lap, it is the one that you get away with. And it would be the worst scenario if you walk away from it. If there's a position that you can leave blank, that feels like one of the positions, along with the one that Dan picked as an edge. I think both of those. But you can't leave safety open. I don't think you can leave wide receiver open in the current state of this team. Running backs in the same boat, quarterbacks in the same boat. You have to find and address those positions. Guys, you only have so many picks. You have about five picks that really matter. And other than that, I wouldn't be going through and counting on all of these things to get done in one draft. Something has to get left out. We'll see what it is coming up here next weekend. All right. Let's leave that there. Coming back at 9 o'clock, as we always do at 9 o'clock. Let's get to Get a Grip, and we'll have some fun ones to address, including Kadarius Toney jumping in and making a change to his life that I think has to be recognized in this city. Again, that's coming your way in about 5 minutes. It's Jake Volnick with the guys on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.